Debunking Athletic Scholarship Myths. Hi, this is John Fugler. Welcome to the Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 3. Well, good to have you along. And as we look at something today that I think is critical for us as we go through this process of pursuing an athletic scholarship, this whole recruiting world, as we know, is kind of confusing sometimes, fast-paced. You don't know what's true and what's not, and you're trying to figure things out along the way, as well as figure out some of the coaches that you're hearing from and some of those that you want to hear from. So we're talking about athletic scholarship myths today, and don't get fooled. We don't want you to do that. So we're going to get into that in just a second. But I'm excited about what I have for you coming up in the future here on the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I've got a coach that has now turned pro. And that's all I'm going to say. He has done recruiting for over 2 decades. So he knows what it's like from a college coach's perspective. And we've been able to get him on the show on an interview because he's no longer doing college, so he's pretty much free to say and do what he wants to do. So we're going to get him on the next episode. So if you want to hear what college coaches are thinking, you're going to hear from this guy. He's been at it for 20 years. I could say a lot of things. Other people could say a lot of things, but it's the college coaches that you want to, I guess, impress. You want to be recruited by them. So we got to know what they're thinking and the best way to approach them. So that's coming up on our next episode. Other things that we'll be discussing in the future, and make sure you pass along the link to this podcast to your friends, other parents, other student athletes. Also, we're on iTunes, and you can let them know that they could pick this up there, because the things we're discussing, every family needs to hear. And that is my burden, that every family does hear this and applies the things that we're talking about. So we're going to be talking in the future about how to keep a coach's interest. I'll be talking about the recruiting marathon, how to overcome pitfalls along the way, what it takes to be a scholarship athlete. So you want to be a scholarship athlete, it's athletics and academics. And in pretty soon, probably in 2, 3, or 4 episodes, we'll be answering the biggest scholarship questions that you've been asking me. So we'll get those on there too. So a lot to come here on the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I'm John Fugler, by the way. I mentioned that earlier and been at this since 2002, working with our twin sons even before that in the late 90s, helping them in the scholarship journey back when I knew nothing. I know nothing. Yes, I knew nothing then. And I think I know a little bit more now. Seems to be working. But back then, I was a sponge. My wife and I working on this with our twin sons, helping them get a scholarship. And boy, what an adventure it was. And I had help along the way. There's nothing like having a coach. And we had a coach named Jeff. He worked with us. He's a scholarship coach. And he worked with us and helped us avoid the pitfalls, take some shortcuts, avoid doing some of the things and making some of the mistakes other families make. And I think we did it pretty well because our kids ended up getting a fully paid education and competing at the school of their choice. So that was pretty cool. And my burden for you is that you experience the same thing as a family. If you're a parent, this podcast is for you as you lead the charge, as you lead the way in this athletic scholarship journey, in this recruiting game. And student athletes, as you're listening, we want you to work with your parents on this. You can't do this on your own, and it's not intended to be that way. So it's teamwork. It was us working with our kids on this whole process. And sometime soon, I'll be able to get one of our kids on the podcast because one of our twin sons is now living locally in our area. So I've already asked him. I said, would you come on with me and do a podcast? And you tell the truth here, let people know if it really is and was the way I said it was. What are your memories? And so I hope to get him on here before long. That way you're not just hearing from me. And I will be doing interviews, got some interviews planned with college coaches, athletic scholarship coaches, some academic coaches as well, college planners. Yeah, we're going to really open this thing up. So look forward to that. But the reason I wanted to settle on this topic today, and it's debunking the athletic scholarship myths, is because I don't want you to be fooled. I want you to go straight down the road without veering to the left or to the right, and understanding what's truth and what's not. So I've written about these in my blogs. I've talked about them on teleseminars and instructional events that I've done. I write about them in the manual, the Recruit Me manual. And this is what I teach. And these are the foundations. You got to start somewhere. You got to lay a strong foundation. And the truth is the best foundation that you can lay. I believe that. So we're going to tackle some of these myths, go through these. Hopefully these will be helpful for you. And you might be facing one or two of these right now. And if I can get you one more step down the road today, then I feel I've been successful. Just one more step down the road. So let's tackle the first one. And the biggest myth that I hear is this, is that if my child is good enough, the college coaches will find him or her. If my child is good enough, the college coaches will find him or her. And the truth is, a very small percentage of high school athletes receive scholarships because the coach just happened to find him or happened to find her. That's very rare, even though it seems like those are the ones that are always publicized and the ones you hear about. But in reality, only the top line elite athletes, the top 100 or so nationally in their sport, receive enough national media recognition that they're automatically recruited without having to make an effort. So as you see these signings, you read about them, you hear about them, you don't get caught into the trap to think that, hey, if my kid's good enough, college coaches will find him or her. Doesn't just happen that way. Because the other 99% plus that aren't the elite top-line athletes have to take the initiative. They have to contact the schools where there's an interest. And that's why when we talk to parents and athletes, we talk about getting a list of 40 to 50 schools that you initiate contacts with. Most schools' recruiting budgets are limited, and coaches rely on you to contact them first. They don't have the time or the budget to travel around the country to see your student athlete compete. You may think they do. You see them on TV and you're thinking they're making a ton of money. A lot of it's got to go for recruiting. Well, that's maybe some of the schools do, but it's not all the schools. And especially in the minor sports, they do not have the kind of recruiting budget that, say, football and basketball have. So don't think that there's unlimited budgets for recruiting. Coaches don't have the budget or the time to travel around the country just to check student athletes out. Videos, stats, references, and that kind of thing become key tools for a coach in the recruiting and evaluating process. And once someone surfaces to the top, then they'll go out and watch that student athlete compete. So parents, you might think that it's too self-promoting to make the initial contact with a coach and market your child, but it really is the norm. And when I say this, it's not the contact coming from you, but it's coming from your kid. The coach wants to hear from your kid. That's clear. I've heard that over and over again as I've talked with college coaches. But if your child does not take that initiative, other student athletes will get the scholarship because they and their parents have made the effort as a team and they've received the attention. Coaches these days expect you to take that step to contact them. It's an accepted practice. So let's go on to another myth. I kind of beat that one up. And this one is most athletic scholarships are full rides. Most athletic scholarships are full rides. And the truth is, it's just the opposite. Other than football and basketball, it's very rare for a student athlete to be offered a full athletic scholarship at any school. Coaches have limited scholarships. They're regulated by the NCAA. They're regulated by their own budget. Even if they have this cap by NCAA and NAIA rules, they got to have the budget to be able to fund that cap. And they try to stretch their scholarship dollars just as you are trying to stretch your education dollars. And your child will likely be offered room and board or tuition or books or some combination of these. So that's what you can really expect. And I just warn you to be prepared to pay some money at any school where you're offered a scholarship. It will likely only be a partial scholarship. Now, that's an exception to football and basketball. But don't overlook additional financial aid that you may qualify in the form of academic scholarships or grants. When you're making the tough decision as to which school to choose, consider the whole package. The whole package. What's the bottom line? Not just the athletic scholarship component. I had a great conversation where I interrogated a college planner, and he's featured inside Athletic Scholarship University, one of the benefits that our families get there. And we talked about this. We talked about what are some of the other avenues? What are ways to get money for college besides sports? And he went into that with me, and it was a great conversation. But he did say that don't just look for the athletic scholarship portion. See where there are other opportunities and other dollars available. So just to give you an idea of some of the limits in scholarships, you hear about football. I got some of the figures here: 85 scholarships in D1 football. That's a lot. That's huge. Basketball, it's 13 for the men. Women's basketball, 15. Tennis, 8 for the women. Women's gymnastics, 12 scholarships. And women's volleyball, 12 scholarships. And but when you look at some of these others where there's not that full allotment to fund full scholarship to every athlete, baseball, for instance, it's 11.7. 11.7. How did they come up with that? And this is Division One. You've got cross country, track and field, 12.6 on the men's side, 18 on the women's side. Women's bowling. Did you know that was a scholarship sport? 5 scholarships there. Women's beach volleyball, 6. Fencing. Men's fencing, 4.5. Women's 5.0. Field hockey. Women's field hockey, 12 scholarships. Golf. 4.5 on the men's side, 6 on the women's side. Gymnastics, 6.3 for the men, 12 for the women. Lacrosse, 12.6 for the men, 12 for the women. Some other ones to look at in softball, women's softball, 12 scholarships available. Tennis, 4.5 on the men's side, 8 on the women's side. So these are just some examples, and you can go to the NCAA to find both Division I and Division II limits on scholarships. But that's something that you need to know, that it's not going to be a full ride unless it's football and basketball. There are very few sports that are that have the full ride scholarships. So that's important to know, very important to know. And it's perspective, where you need to go into this with that perspective that you will have to pay something. You will have to pay something in most cases. What we do with the student-athletes that I talk with and parents as I coach them through the whole process, we come down to the end, and what I have is the athletic scholarship report card that is has a number of factors. I think I've got maybe up to 10 factors that are involved in making that school choice. Yes, some of them are financial, but there are other factors involved that will help you narrow that down and see where is the best place for me to be at. Where's the best place for my son or daughter to be at to compete? So that's another myth. Let me deal with this one too. This is a myth. I have to be the best player on my team to get any financial aid. I have to be the best player on my team to get any athletic financial aid, to get any scholarship. And the truth of the matter is, even if you're not a national superstar already being recruited, an accomplished, talented athlete has a great chance of being recruited, has a great chance of getting scholarship money. So put that out of your mind, that you've got to be the best on your team. It doesn't have to be that way. But again, as I mentioned, it's not going to just happen. You're going to get lost in this whole recruiting world, and you're talented, but you've got to make sure that you market yourself. So that's important. But you don't have to be the best. In our case, our kids, our twin sons, were not the best on the team. They were two of the best, but they were not at the very top. They certainly weren't the best in the county and best in the state, And yet, because we presented them to not only where they ended up, but to multiple schools, and they had choices of where to go, they were recruited and they got money. So that happens over and over again, over and over again. You've got to be a talented athlete. Your kid has to be able to compete at the next level. That's really important. And you need an honest assessment of his or her athletic abilities. And you go through this process, that assessment will come as coaches see the videos. Or maybe you know some coaches or others on the who have a good feel for college sports, whether your son or daughter has the talent to compete at the next level. That's the first thing. They've got to be talented and be able to do that, but do not have to be the best. And that's why it's important not just to shoot for D1, but look at D2, D3. You've got different levels of NAIA. You want to go where the fit is best for your future. You're not going to be playing sports for the rest of your life, but college is a way to prepare you for the future. Something else that comes up along the lines of this, people think that, parents tell me this a lot, you know, we're from a small area, small school, small town. Coaches never come by to recruit. How in the world is my son or daughter going to get recruited? How's he or she going to get a scholarship? And the truth of the matter in that one is it doesn't matter. If there is talent and the coaches know you exist, and they see that you have that talent because of what you present to them and what they see on video, and eventually come see you compete or go somewhere, you go near them and they get a chance to see you compete. It's not the small town. It's not the small school. It's not the level of school that's going to determine whether or not you get an athletic scholarship, whether or not you get recruited. That's not it. I tell the story of a friend of ours. Their son went to a small private school in our small town where our kids grew up, and he wanted to play at an elite D1 program. He wanted to compete there. And by golly, he did. He did. Now, he's not from a major metropolitan area, but he took the initiative, and he was found because he took the initiative first. So I keep coming back to that. Can't wait around. You can't wait around. But you don't have to be the best player on the team. You don't have to be from a big school or even a great program. So those are three myths I wanted to deal with, because those are kind of top of mind right now. And we see these questions and these issues and these myths come up again and again. And I wanted to address those here. I thought this would be a good place to do that. I take questions. If you have a question, just email me at john@recruit-me.com. john@recruit-me.com, because I love to answer them on our podcast episodes. So here's a question along with some a big background story on this. I want to paint the picture for you, then the question, and I wanted to address it. It's this. We know we're late, very late in the recruiting game. As the mom of a full-time soccer athlete who is a senior in the international baccalaureate program at his high school, I've tried to take as much as I could off my son's plate. I've gotten the video clips uploaded to YouTube, done the profile. I've now emailed about 15 college coaches attaching the profile. I plan on emailing several more. I'm afraid that it'll be dream crushing due to the expense of private schools, even though he's considering a private school, and he wouldn't have the needs based when it comes to the college charts. I've filled out their questionnaires, all under my son's email. I've recently signed up for another service. And basically, to spend $40 to get them to put a glowing circle around my kid so he can stand out more in my ultra amateur video I put together. Anyway, I now wonder, and here's the question, how long to wait to follow up with coaches when there is no response? Now, she got to this point in a certain way. She sent emails out, got the profile up there, got the YouTube video, and you're waiting for coaches to respond. And she's taking the initiative here, and that's great. But coaches aren't always going to respond right away. It's going to take some time. You may get some that respond within a week or two or three. We see that all the time. And I really believe that you can get recruited in less than a month if you put out the information in the way I explain it and you do it right. You do it simply. You get the right information in front of coaches. So she's done that and asking, well, now what do we do if they don't respond? And here's what I would recommend, that you, if they have not responded to your email, and you got to understand, and it looks like you set it up this way, that this needs to come for your from your son or daughter, even though you're helping and you're putting this together, the coaches want to hear from the athlete, that contact them again. There's nothing wrong with that. Either by snail mail to put something physical package in their hands, or have your son or daughter place a phone call to the coach, leave a message, because it's often hard to get a hold of the coach live on the phone. But draw some attention to the fact that you've sent this information already and that you as an athlete are interested in that program. So it takes that second step sometimes. Coaches want to know that you're sincerely interested. They get a lot of emails, they get a lot of letters, they get a lot of packages, and sometimes they sense that maybe the student athlete isn't really sincere, that it's a mass mailing. And yeah, it is. It really is. But the more you can personalize that email, personalize that mailing, the more impact you'll have, and that first impression is so important. So if you have to go back to a coach a couple times, that's fine. That's fine. If you're not getting any response at all, or very little response, then there probably is a mismatch there. That the coaches are taking a look at the letter, they're taking a look at the profile, and at first glance, doesn't seem like this kid can compete at their level. But that's good to know, because you want to know what level you as an athlete will be able to compete at in college. And coaches are the ones who are going to make that call. And parents, you want to know for your son or daughter. So D1, D2, D3, I'll tell you, there's some great institutions out there at all three levels, and great experiences ahead and great educations. Get it out of your mind that you've got to compete at the schools that are on TV every week. You want to be at the place where it's the best fit. So you send out the letter, you send out the email, you send out the player profile, and if the response hasn't come back, make another run at it. And if you're finding that you're not getting any response, then adjust who you're sending these letters and packets to. So that's my advice. Your question is one that I do hear often. Wow. So as I mentioned earlier, next episode, looking forward to talking to a college coach who's gone pro. And I'll tell you more about that. For 20 years of recruiting experience and coaching experience, and it's going to be a good conversation with him as he shares with parents and athletes. If you would, help me out here. We're just getting started with the Athletic Scholarship University podcast. Got so much meat to bring you in the future, but hey, would you get some ears on this show? Would you get some ears on this podcast on iTunes? If you go on and give us a review, give me a review, tell me what you think. I want to hear that and tell everybody else what to think. The best way to get others to listen is to get a good review on iTunes. So go on there. I want it to be an honest review, but I have faith that it'll be a good one. Get more people in here listening. Let's see if we can help as many families as possible in this athletic scholarship dream. If you'd like more information, please go to my website, recruit-me.com, recruit-me.com. Had a great webinar not too long ago. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. And we have just finished up with Athletic Scholarship University. Enrollment is closed right now. But we're looking forward to opening that up again next quarter and being able to provide all the nitty-gritty meat and tools and instruction that every family needs if you're serious about going after the athletic scholarship. So thanks for joining me. We'll talk to you next time.